You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast with Jason and Jamie. This is episode 211. And today I want to talk about a similar topic to the one of women in ministry, specifically responding to what went down at the Southern Baptist Convention and the response to it. But before I do, I want to say, if you're curious about Jason and I's discussion of this topic, what is the role of women in the church? You can go back to episode 151, where we fully discuss this particular topic. And so go check out that episode if you're curious to know where we're at on it. But I did want to respond to some of the comments that have been coming out as a result of the Southern Baptist Convention's decision as it relates to this particular topic. And so if you haven't been watching church news at all, you may have missed it. But the big controversy is the Southern Baptist Convention at their convention did a couple different things. So the first thing they did was they voted to disfellowship two churches that have begun and started practicing the ordination of females, of women, in pastoral and eldership roles. So that was Saddleback Church, founded by Rick Warren, and then another church as well that apparently has had a long time a female pastor of the church, and yet I guess either they didn't ever notice or it just never came up as an issue. But not only did they disfellowship those churches, which they were right to do, certainly, but at the same time, they also really further clarified this particular topic, really made clear what it is that the SBC holds and believes in relationship to this practice. And so what they did was they actually added to their convention bylaws a clear definition that says that any associating church that affirms, appoints, or employs or only men as any kind of pastor, elder, as qualified by scripture. So they added that line into their convention bylaws to say, if you want to associate as a church with the SBC, then you have to affirm that, saying, you know, we agree and we do not practice this. We do not ordain and have female pastors in these roles. And so none of this is that shocking. And yet you saw all these different articles, these news headlines that were so scandalized, right, by it. For example, the New York Times wrote that this particular event, the Southern Baptist Convention, reasserted the patriarchy by excluding female pastors. The article goes on to talk about how ultra conservatives are taking over the SBC, and this is a key Republican voting bloc for the 2024 election. The Times ran an article that was entitled "The Southern Baptist Convention's Long War for the Patriarchy." Beth Allison Barr wrote for NBC.com saying the SBC is ignoring the abuse, the sexual abuse, in order to increase the power of men, and so on and on it goes, right? These are the news headlines, the stories. And then, of course, I've seen many from others as well that are supposedly believers in the Lord Jesus Christ commenting on this thing and are aghast and horrified at the absolute assault on women. One person I saw, even in my own personal Facebook friends group, pastor in this local area here. I won't say her name, but if you're a local listener, you probably know who I'm talking about, who wrote that not affirming and supporting women in pastoral or eldership position is doing violence against the Church of Christ. Okay. Now, all of this language is absolute nonsense. And, you know, I would say they know it, but they probably don't. They're only jumping to whatever headlines that they've heard or whatever things they've heard. So first of all, the SBC has had some real sexual abuse issues that have gone on in the churches. Unfortunately, this does happen. We wish it did not, but we're sinful, broken people, and sometimes people are in pastoral roles get into very sinful, broken, or evil things. The abuse of women and children and, you know, so on and so forth. So these things do happen. And by the way, this is not just the SBC that has this problem. Churches of all stripes and shades have this problem. It's a human sin issue problem. And unfortunately, I think sadly speaks to the fact that there are so many in church leadership today that, you know, may not even be believers, that may honestly have designs and desires against God's word. And of course, this is not something new. The Bible speaks to this a lot, this idea that there are wolves that come along, right? This is why elders and pastors are encouraged to protect the flock of Christ that they've been given against these people. And you see this shows up constantly in scripture. It's in the book of Acts, it's in the book of 1 Corinthians, it's in the book of Titus, it's in the book of Timothy, it's in so many books, literally almost every book of the Bible, the New Testament certainly, almost speaks to this at least to some degree or another. I mean, think of Galatians, right? 1 Peter, 1 John, so on and so forth. We could go on and on with that. But there is this reality. There are those who are legitimately wolves. They're not even believers and they prey on the church. And then there are also those who are very broken people stuck in sexual addiction. And then they end up doing evil things to other people. And it's awful. It's terrible. Certainly very much a violation of God's good design and call for a pastor. And honestly, I believe that they will be held accountable, even if they're not in the American justice system. They will be held accountable directly to the Lord. In fact, you see in Titus, it says that those who preach and teach are held to account in a special way. And you see the same thing in the book of James as well. So it's not something to be desired unless God has called you to it, because you will be held to account for everything, and even more so the evil that you've committed against the people of God, the people that God has entrusted over you. So it's a very serious thing. But the SBC did not stop their investigation or stop their concern with this issue. In fact, they renewed it. They are going to go on to continue to investigate and work on solving this problem or trying to deal with this problem so that it doesn't continue and it doesn't get swept under the rug and, you know, people go on preying on other people. That is all going to continue. So this pretense that, oh, somehow the SBC stopped paying attention to that. No, they did not. In fact, they renewed that effort for another year as well. So there is no fear that that work will continue. But on the other side, what an obnoxious thing. Not for the world. I don't care about these liberal publications, these secular progressive publications like the New York Times, the Washington Post, MSNBC.com, you know, all these liberal, radical, secular, progressive groups. I expect they're going to do their thing. But what bothers me is when I see Christians, those who name the name of Christ, using the same kind of hyperbolic, nonsensical language, and certainly outright ignoring the truth of Scripture itself. Because you do have to recognize the Bible is very clear on this topic. You can't pretend like, oh, I had no idea what the Bible teaches when it comes to the role of women in especially the eldership role. And what I mean by that is scripture is very clear on that particular issue. There isn't actually any doubt here. The people who tell you there is are literally trying to explain away that which scripture teaches, and it's not appropriate. So, for example, 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, "Therefore, I want men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or argument. Also, women are to dress themselves in modest clothing with decency and good sense, not with elaborate hairstyles, gold, pearls, or expensive apparel, but with good works, as is proper for women who affirm that they worship God. A woman should learn in silence with full submission. I do not allow a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. Instead, she is to be silent. For Adam was created first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and transgressed. But she will be saved through childbearing if she continues in faith, love, holiness, and good judgment." Okay, so you see here, I'm not saying culturally all of that is comfortable for our ears. Certainly not saying that. But what I am saying is it's really clear. It's our understanding of this is not the problem. Well, at least in relationship to the role of women in the teaching position in the life of the church, because that's not confusing at all. I will admit that there is a lot of discussion as to what he meant at the end there, where they are saved through childbearing. Now that's a fair debate, and it's open for discussion on what that means. But otherwise, it's very clear. This was not God's good design. And then you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, where he lays out the qualifications for an elder. And it says, "This saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to be an overseer, he desires a noble work. An overseer, therefore, must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, self-controlled, sensible, respectable, hospitable, an able teacher, not addicted to wine, not a bully, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not greedy, one who manages his own household competently, having his children under control with all dignity. If anyone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of God's church? He must not be a new convert, or he might become conceited and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Furthermore, he must have a good reputation among outsiders so that he does not fall into disgrace and the devil's trap." So this is not ambiguous. It is very masculine genitive specific. It is men who are called to this office of elder. That isn't to say that women are not capable, that women are not gifted, that women are not godly enough, that women do not have the ability to preach and teach and share the word of God well. That is absolutely not what we're saying at all. In fact, that's not even what scripture teaches. We believe that God has gifted women in amazing and incredible ways. They are very gifted. They are very able to teach. They are very able to bring so much to the church. And while I'm not going to go down that road right now, there is an immense amount of things that women are able to do very well and certainly do all throughout scripture. In fact, it's a massive list. I sat down one day and just started looking at what all do we find women doing in scripture? And it's a massive, massive list. So anybody who says to believe that God has a good design for the church and for the leadership of the church, that's a bad thing or a negative thing? No, absolutely not. What we know for sure from scripture and what we see played out when we yield to the will of Christ is that his way always ends up being for our good and for God's glory and the best thing for human flourishing. So this is not one of those things where we have a lower view of women and the role of women in the church just because we have a higher view of God's good design. If that makes sense. So, but like I said, we get into that a little more in the episode Jason and I did on the topic. So you can definitely go check that out for sure. That gives you a little more perspective on that. But you notice here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, when he says all of this, he doesn't appeal to a situation with a specific church. And I think that's really important because this is one of the arguments you hear from egalitarian folks, the ones who believe that men and women are completely interchangeable. And so women can be pastors and elders, no big deal, no issue. One of their arguments is just, well, there was an issue going on with that church and that church only. And you notice that the Apostle Paul here, he doesn't point to anything with that specific church. He makes an argument based on God's original design, going all the way back to Genesis 1 and 2 and Genesis 3 to say, here was God's good original design, and then here was the perversion of that design. That isn't something specific just to that church community. But if you're still confused, thinking, well, maybe it was something about that specific church, and not a greater statement, you look at 1 Corinthians 14, where in verse 33, it says, as in all the churches of the saints, a woman should be silent in the church, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church meeting. Did the word of God originate from you, or did it come to you only? And he goes on then speaking to another topic as it relates to prophecy. And now, remember, his whole teaching in the book of 1 Corinthians is encouraging the church to be united in Christ, right? To have the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ, have unity in Christ. And he defines that, you know, in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, he makes it very clear by asking the question, is Christ divided? You know, he says there are many people who say, I'm with Paul, or I'm with Apollos, or I'm with Cephas, or I'm with Christ. And then he asks the question, is Christ divided? And of course, the answer is no. And so he goes on to talk about what it is to lay aside our will and our desires and turn to Christ and say, okay, Lord, you're God. I'm not God. How can I seek after you? How can I live in line with your good design? And then he goes into what does that unity in Christ look like in all these different situations, marriage, sexuality, personal convictions, church discipline, on and on it goes, communion, the gathering of the body, all of it, using your gifts, spiritual gifts, you know, so on and so forth. And so that's the whole focus is how do we bring great unity in Christ? And it always is associated with yielding my will to the will of God, recognizing my human thought does not lead to God's good. It ends up being destructive. It actually ends up being deadly. Proverbs puts it, you know, that very aptly way. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death, right? So if it's not God's way, it ultimately destroys. And that's the framework in which this good design of God is played out. And I think it's for good purpose because you look at the natural sin nature of men and the natural sin nature of women. I believe the natural sin nature of women is towards control, and the natural sin nature of men is towards passivity. Generally speaking, men will seek to not be responsible, to not be engaged, to not be in charge, to not do what God's called them to do, which is to be the head of their house and to lead their wife and kids well in the way of the Lord, to love them and serve them and literally even die for them. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, right? It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ did the church and he gave himself up for her. So a husband is to love his wife like Christ, which means he gets to die. That's what you get to die, do as a husband. You get to die. You get to do die. That's a big deal. And so this headship is one of, I recognize that I am responsible to the Lord for the wife that God has given me, to the for the kids that God has given me. And so I walk humbly before the Lord, seeking after the Lord, serving them, loving them, caring for them, and doing what is right before the Lord. That's really important because I think, honestly, one of the reasons that God has men in charge of the home is because the decisions sometimes have to be made against how I feel. And that's hard. That's really hard for women to do. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's very hard for women to do. They're very drawn by their, pulled by their heartstrings, and that's a good thing in so many respects. But there are times where you have to say, you know what? This is the truth of God, and it doesn't have to feel good, and it maybe it hurts people's feelings, or maybe it offends, but it has to be spoken because this is right, or it has to be done because this is right before the Lord. Is it fun? Not always. Does it feel good? Not always. But is it important? Absolutely yes. And at the same time, the natural sin nature of a man is towards passivity. They will not step up on their own. We as men will not step up on our own by our fleshly desires. We just want to, you know, be catered to. We want to have fun. We don't want to have responsibility. We don't want to be held accountable by God. We don't want to have to make those decisions and be accountable to those decisions. We don't want to have to spiritually lead. We don't want to have to, I mean, so often you find in a lot of marriage relationships, it is the wife who seeks after the Lord more than the husband. The wife is the one who has a desire for God. The wife is the one, and you see this in the church overall. I mean, we see this a lot, that women generally are way more interested in the things of God than the men are. And it's so sad. It's tragic because the men are the ones called by God to be the spiritual leaders of their homes, to literally pastor their own home, to pastor and shepherd their own children. And yet they so often choose the path of passivity, put that responsibility on their wife, and instead indulge the flesh or are lazy or passive, won't engage. And at the same time, that forces women to be in a role that God didn't call them to be in. And it's not good for the family. It's not good for the church. It's not good in any context. And so part of the reason I believe God designed it this way is it works against our natural sin nature. And that's good. It's good for us to reject our natural sin nature and step into God's good design. And so it isn't a question of, are women qualified? Are women good enough? Can they be godly enough? It's none of that. In fact, I've met many, many women in my life, many, 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 that are super godly, that super love the Lord, that are super good teachers, and they find ways to invest and to teach and to encourage and to exhort people to God and to God's word. It's beautiful. It's incredible. In fact, my own mom, I will say this. My own mom is a better Bible teacher than I am by far. By far. Very gifted woman. And everybody who's heard her teach, she often teaches to middle school, high school, youth group, you know, those kinds of contexts. But anybody who listens to her is like, wow, she is such a good teacher. And you watch the kids, and they are just so into it. Whatever she's teaching, they are so into it because she's so engaging and it's all, you know, she's very much about personal application and it's awesome. It's so awesome. And so to hold God's view is not saying, oh, we believe you're not good enough. That's not what it's saying at all. But at the same time, though, the primary motivator to change God's good design is to appease the world and to appease feminism. And what is the point of that? What is the point of that? The world will not love you. If you walk in line with God's good design and you walk with the Lord and you seek after Him, like, yes, we still love and serve our community. And yes, we still take every opportunity to share the gospel. But at the same time, we do not seek to be loved by the world. We do not seek to be accepted by the world. Jesus made it very clear to us that we will not be loved by the world. If you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not be loved by the world. It is not going to happen. You cannot have these two realities coexistent, the love of the world or to follow Christ. They will not happen together. It's not going to happen. And Jesus makes that very clear. You know, he says, if the world hates you, this is in John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, understand that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. However, because you are not of this world, but I have chosen you out of it, the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my words, they will keep yours also. This is the situation. This is the reality. If you want to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can forget about the world loving you because they're not going to. And you're not going to think the same. And you're not going to be able to appease the world. And you're not going to be able to explain to the world why this is the way it is. Because in their mind, their wisdom, this makes no sense. Women should be able to do whatever the heck they want, right? That's what feminism is all about. We don't need men. Men are horrible. We can just do whatever we want and have whatever position we want and do things however we want and whatever our design is, whatever seems right to me, whatever is good in my own eyes, that is the way. That is the truth. That is the way to walk. And that is absolutely not the attitude and heart of a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So go listen to that other episode that Jason and I did, because we talk about and even walk through how the Bible has an incredibly high view of women. And that's absolutely true. And I'm absolutely not backing away from that one bit. But at the same time, we also don't have to qualify everything for the appeasement of the world. God has a design. God called men to do some things. God called women to do some things. They are not interchangeable. Men and women are the same. We have the same value. We are the same in essence before the Lord. We are the same in identity before the Lord. Both men and women were made in the image of God. That is all true, but that does not make us the same. God has made men for specific purpose. God has made women for specific purpose. And together, it's awesome. Together, it's beautiful. Together, the church flourishes. Together, the home flourishes. Together, society flourishes before God. And this is what we believe. So here's what I have to say. The SBC, Southern Baptist Convention, did absolutely the right thing in making this decision. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.